CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Mass murder in the California desert. Five people arrested in connection with six bodies found last week on a remote desert road in San Bernardino County. Investigators suspect a dispute over marijuana. Sergeant Michael Warwick, San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office.
I can confirm all victims had apparent fatal gunshot injuries. Additionally, four of the six were burned at the location by the suspects.
Impeachment proceedings kick off tomorrow by House Republicans of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas over border issues. The Biden administration considering responses to the deadly drone attack by Iran-backed militants on U.S. troops in Jordan over the weekend. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
And that response could be multi-leveled, come in stages, and be sustained over time.
Elon Musk announces the first brain-computer interface device from his company Neuralink has been implanted in a human. An update on Wall Street. This is ABC News. A charity linked to Prince Harry launching an investigation into allegations of rape and torture.
African Parts launching an investigation into allegations its guards raped and tortured tribespeople in a Congolese jungle. Survival International, a group advocating for indigenous people around the world, writing on X, we're calling on Prince Harry to step down from the board of African Parks and its funders to withdraw their support. Harry and Meghan's Archwell Foundation responding in a statement, when the Duke became aware of these serious allegations, he immediately escalated them to the CEO and chairman of the Board of African Parks, the appropriate people to handle next steps. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, London.
No prison time for a housebound thief in hospice care who confessed to stealing a pair of ruby slippers Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz. Terry Martin nabbed the shoes from the Judy Garland Museum in Minnesota back in 2005. Martin said he had wanted to pull off one last score. Tax filing season started today. You have until April 15th in most states to file. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A key committee of state lawmakers this week will take up a proposed $7.5 million matching grant as Wisconsin seeks to be a regional federal tech hub. Lisa Johnson heads the group leading the effort. She tells WISN-TV's Upfront that state approval is an important step.
So now the state's coming forward and saying, we do believe it, we agree, and we're willing to put money behind this.
The governor has to sign off on the matching funds by the end of next month. Vaping in Wisconsin is among the lowest in the United States, according to a new study. Research from Forbes Advisory ranks Wisconsin number 40 in the nation for e-cigarette use. Only 3.3% of Wisconsin adults tell the study they vape every day. The national average is 3.8%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks take on the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip to five different cities, starting tonight in Colorado, against the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. New head coach Doc Rivers asked, how hard is it taking over a team in the middle of an NBA season?
Listen, I've never done this. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. It's going to be a challenge. Got to get organized quickly.
Rivers attended the Marquette basketball game, where he played in the early 1980s. Packers quarterback Jordan Love, also in attendance as a fan. The Golden Eagles beat Seton Hall 75-57. They're on the road tomorrow night against Villanova. NFL, the 49ers are headed back to the Super Bowl. They were down by 17 points, but came back to beat Detroit 34-31. Lions head coach Dan Campbell asked, why didn't he try a field goal on fourth down late in the game instead of going for it?
You know, they were bleeding the clock out. That's what they do. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky, the low falling into the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. We warm up quite a bit, though, for Wednesday, with sunshine all the way up to the mid-40s for the high. Currently, it's 37.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Some guy put his humongous mitts in my soda cup. That's how the show started, and I can't let go of that. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Monday night. We have a surprise guest coming up at the sometime in the last half hour of the show. A guy who worked with Heather Graham. So you won't want to miss out on that. He's going to give us the whole skinny on former Wisconsinite Heather Graham. And I'm not one of those guys that's, oh, she's from Wisconsin. I think she was born here and moved when she was like 6 months old. Not just her family, but, you know, technically she's a native Wisconsinite. And now I'm going to welcome to the show a man who makes Wisconsin his adopted home, Ben Reiser. Ben, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Pete, you do this, what, 5 nights a week?
Yeah.
7 nights a week?
And when I'm off 2 days in the weekend, I do it at home on my own just for the exercise. That's how dedicated.
It's intense. Is this the most you've ever worked?
It's the hardest I've worked in my adult life.
Yeah. Wow. I do a weekly podcast, and I feel like that's a lot. This is nuts.
You kind of get your stamina up. I mean, it takes a little bit, but it's... You know, I'm talking about what I love to talk about, so that helps. With people I like to talk about it with. So, Ben, you work for the Wisconsin Film Festival. I've had you on before. You're officially now a friend of the show.
Yeah. We'll talk. I'm who you get when you run out of Rob Thomas segments.
That's not true, but tell us, your city, Madison, is about to be invaded by hundreds of beavers. Tell us what's going on.
We're the home of the badgers, but the another invasive species is coming to town.
Not tomorrow, yeah.
Hundreds of beavers, straight from the minds of these dudes. I believe they're Wisconsin natives.
Yeah,
Mike Cheslick and Ryland Bricks and Cole Twos. These guys are lunatics.
Yeah.
This is their second, I think, feature film that they've done together. The first one was called Lake Michigan Monster,
which was also hilarious.
Which was hilarious and crazy. And I would not have imagined that they could have topped it, but Hundreds of Beavers is like Lake Michigan Monster times 100.
And with, I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival last year. It's basically a silent film. Like, there's no dialogue.
Although
really.
I was thinking about that, and I know Jim Healy says this all the time, another guy I work with over at the University of Wisconsin.
Another friend of the show.
It's a misnomer to call any of these films silent films, because none of these films that we show that we call silent films are actually silent. They just don't have dialogue. You know, even the old-timey 1910s and 1920s silent films, if nothing else, they have musical right. scores either. You know, built into the film, or sometimes we bring in a live pianist, careful with that word, to come and accompany. And in the case of Hundreds of Beavers, there isn't any dialogue, but there's a ton of sound. I mean, this is not a silent film. It's a beautifully crafted audio landscape that they put out there for you.
It's, you know,
and if you picture it, it's kind of like, I mean, it's hard to describe this film because there's really nothing else like it. But there's certainly a big chunk of it is very Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes. So if you can picture the way that the musical scores of those old Looney Tunes cartoons would sort of, you know, highlight all of the action on screen, there's plenty of that stuff. There's a million sound effects. There's lots of grunts and groans and slingshots going off and snow rolling down icy hills. So yeah, it's a silent film technically, but really it's a wonderful film to listen to.
Yes, very well said. And that's a great comparison to the Looney Tunes, because it's like, you know, I don't know if it's Elmer Fudd or maybe I'm thinking of Bill Murray and Caddyshack when he is trying to sneak over and dives to get the gopher. It's a lot of that type of stuff. And there's one moment in the film I remember where one of the beavers looks at the main character almost furtively or seductively, and the main character goes, like he's responding to it. Like, that's how easily swayed his character.
That's a total Bugs Bunny rip. There's got to be five different Bugs Bunny cartoons where he, you know, dresses up as a female bunny and gets Elmer Fudd to fall in love with him.
To fall in love with another species temporarily.
Yeah.
We've all been there. So they're coming in for one night. It's tomorrow night. It's Cinematheque. Are there still seats available? And I know it's free too, I think. Correct?
Yeah, we're doing it at the larger on campus movie theater, the Marquee at Union South. So there's 330 seats. Although that's not quite as big as where we showed it at the festival last year, which was at Shannon Hall, which is our like 1100 seat venue.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what a big hit this was at the festival. I had my fingers crossed because I thought, if people come to see this movie, they're going to love it. But how do we get them into the theater? But it wasn't that hard, actually. And so,
I thought you had a great crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's tomorrow night and it's free. And, you know, we don't even assign tickets. It's just sort of first come, first serve. So, you know, get there 6:30 or so and hopefully you can get in. But yes, these guys who we mentioned before, Mike and Ryland and the rest of their crew, are doing like an old school. They used to do this in the 50s and 60s. They're doing a road show where they're traveling from city to city one night at a time, showing this film and doing all kinds of hijinks in the theater, which you saw them do at Shannon Hall.
Very fun.
At the festival. They've got their costumes. They're doing backflips. They're throwing beer at each other. It's going to be a mess, but a glorious mess.
Yeah, they are out there. And you mentioned that. What happened? I want to say it was during their first film was called The Lake Michigan Monster. And I think you were hosting or Jim was hosting. Jim Healy was hosting a Q&A, or maybe it was this film. Didn't they do something crazy at the Q&A?
Yeah, they did a lot of crazy stuff.
Or he said, he wanted to host it or something like that. And it was just pandemonium.
Well, yeah, I was introducing the film and I said to them, can you bring an extra beaver costume? Cause I would happily put that thing on and introduce the film in a beaver costume. And they said, heck yeah, we're coming with 10 beaver costumes. You can wear as many as you want. But then when I got up on stage, and Shannon Hall is this old, you know, sort of concert hall, it's got a pretty high stage, and where we had the screen set up to show films, there isn't much stage left between the screen and the lip of the stage. And it's a pretty far drop into what used to be the orchestra pit. And I said, I can't see out of this costume. So when I come on stage and I introduce you guys, you need to come out there. And then when we leave before the movie starts, you need to make sure you're escorting me off the stage, because I don't know where I'm going. Of course, these two bozos ran off as soon as they could and left me high and dry. And I almost killed myself falling off the stage at Shannon Hall, but I somehow made it. But then afterwards, you're right, I was supposed to host a Q&A, and I got maybe one question in before it all, but you know, before they just went wild. And Mike, the director, sort of grabbed the mic for me, and he, you know, it was a whole, they have a lot of shtick to go around.
Yeah.
They didn't need me.
I love the fact that you almost died wearing a beaver suit. That would have been, that's a heck of a way to go.
Fitting.
So tell us about can people watch? I would love to get these guys on the show, and somebody, I can't remember here at Civic Media has a connection to them, and I'm supposed to be pursuing that, but I can't remember who it is. Is the Lake Michigan Monster, do you know if that's, because if people watch that, they'll probably want to see hundreds of beavers.
Yeah, you want me to jump on Google and tell you?
Like, no, Michigan no, Oscars no, don't waste. No, I can just have people do the Google.
Listen, we got all night. What do you care?
We have all night. Wow. Even after we go off the air, I just like to keep the microphone in front of me. All right, so tomorrow night, Cinematheque in Madison at Union South. Lots of, well, a big theater, first come, first serve, but I highly recommend it. Ben highly recommends it. My guest is Ben Reiser.
Hey, get this.
Yeah.
Lake Michigan Monster is free on Amazon Prime. So
jump on and watch. Okay, yeah. And I would say Hundreds of Beavers is funnier. It's a little more. What do they use? Obviously, they use a green screen. Do they give away their secrets of what they do? Because they really do a lot.
Quite honestly, and I don't think we've, you know, it would take all night to try to accurately describe this movie, but it's very, very homemade and feels right. Like, I mean, I don't think they had any money, but it's filled with, I want to say, a mix of digital and sort of analog, old school special effects. I watch their movies and I have absolutely no idea how they did it. I cannot figure out what I'm looking at, how it possibly came to be, especially with the money that they have or don't have. I mean, it's mind boggling, but it's basically an hour and a half, almost 2 hours worth of nonstop laughs, nonstop amazing special effects of all kinds. I mean, the beavers are people in these life-size sort of beaver mascot uniforms. And I think they really did shoot this out in the snow. I mean, you can't quite believe, you can't figure out how crazy were they to have shot. It all takes place outdoors, like in the Wisconsin wilderness.
Right.
But I think that they really were out there one winter doing this thing in like sub-freezing temperatures. Crazy.
Yeah, it's incredibly innovative. I'm with you. I almost didn't want to sound like an idiot and ask like how they did that, because I thought, I'm not a tech guy, but I was like, how are they doing this? Anyway,
that was one of my main questions I was going to ask them on the Q&A when I was, you know, derailed.
You're in the beaver suit.
Yeah.
All right, let's pivot a bit, Ben. Ben Reiser is my guest. He works with the Wisconsin Film Festival and Cinematheque in Madison. Did Leo DiCaprio get snubbed, in your opinion?
I'm sorry. Did Leo DiCaprio not get an Oscar?
Oscar nomination for Killers of the Flower Moon. I personally...
Who are the five? Can you run them down for me?
Yeah, I have them here.
I don't mean to go over the territory that you went over with Thomas the other night, but
did you listen to that?
No, but I saw that. I will when I'm done here. I didn't want to unconsciously steal anything from his.
No, not at all. And Oscar talk is Oscar. Like, I can't change the movies from guest to guest. So are the nominees. Best Supporting Actor. It's Mark Ruffalo, Robert De Niro.
Well, now wait a minute. He would have been up for Best Lead Actor, wouldn't he have? That's a lead role.
Yeah, I suppose he would have. You're right. Okay, so the Best Lead Actors. Here we go. Best actor. Okay, Paul Giamatti, Brad Cooper.
For Holdovers.
Yeah, Brad Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. Will you give that some thought? We do very, very like a lightning quick break. You're not even going to have time to think. It's not even 60 seconds, but we'll talk. And then I want to ask you too.
My thoughts.
Did Leo get snubbed? And I want to ask you about snubs in general, because I feel like people feel like they're entitled to Oscars. So that's what we'll talk about with Ben Reiser. More on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabba, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Got another text here. Our question tonight: In light of National Corn Chip Day, what food do you wish you could eat nonstop with no effect? Anything with sea salt, from the 715. Okay, sea salt's good. Ben, you like food, right?
Hey, do I like food? Look at me. Of course I do.
I no judgment here. I mean, I'm trying to drop a few pounds. What would you eat if you could eat anything, Ben, and have it not affect you? Your weight, your brain, whatever. Your arteries.
Man, I'm a sucker for a good bagel with cream cheese. So
wow. Just okay.
Intravenously would be fine all day long.
I could do that. Maybe a blueberry bagel with cream cheese.
Sure.
Okay, so
if you want to get crazy about it.
We were talking about Oscar snubs, and I do feel like, you know, I'm sure you heard the whole controversy with Barbie. I do feel like Greta Gerwig got snubbed because I think what she put together was pretty amazing. I don't know about Margot Robbie. Until I saw that Ryan Gosling got nominated. Then I thought it was weird. You know, I don't know. It's strange. What do you think? Then we'll talk about Leo.
Well, let's go back to Leo for a second. DiCaprio, it seems to me that the argument to make is whose makeup was more distracting, the DiCaprio's teeth or Bradley Cooper's nose in Maestro? And so I would say, yes, Leo did get. I would have picked Leo over Bradley Cooper. To me, Bradley Cooper's nose was completely distracting. It made him look cross-eyed, and it also made him look more like Danny Kaye. He didn't really remind me much of Leonard Bernstein, even with that fake nose. But DiCaprio, I thought his teeth, you know, I don't think they hurt his performance. I thought he was really good. I would have voted for him over Bradley Cooper, given those five choices.
I think DiCaprio is one of the best actors of his generation. I think he's great. But I just don't think, like, and I don't disagree with you. Like, I thought, and yeah, Brad Cooper's nose in that movie was bigger than Leonard Bernstein's actual nose. So I don't understand what they were doing there. But so the makeup, they should, that should not be an Oscar nomination. But I feel like if
when it comes to director and Greta Gerwig being snubbed, I mean, there's this built-in problem these days with the Oscars in that they decided they want 10 best picture nominees. And so half of the directors of those films are going to get left off the best directors shortlist because there's only five nominees for all the other categories. Right. So, I mean, that happens every year where half of the directors of these best picture nominees aren't even recognized. So, I mean, that's between you and me, we've already talked about Barbie. I don't like the movie. So I'm not going to argue on Greta Gerwig's behalf.
Right. Know, I wouldn't argue on Margot Robbie. Like, she's had better performances. I don't think her playing Barbie was a stretch for it was a funny role and she did great at it, but I didn't feel like she was snubbed until I saw that Ryan Gosling got nominated. I'm like, he did the exact same thing she did. And kind of the same role. Like how is that different? But
I do think when the movie came out, he did get a lot. People were like, oh my God, Ryan Gosling's the best thing in the movie. He's so funny. And I think that's true. And so I appreciate that he got recognized. Did he get recognized for best supporting actor?
Supporting, yeah. He's
okay. Best, well, that makes sense.
No, wait a minute. Where's my? Yeah, supporting. Okay.
Okay. But I would go with Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I thought that was my favorite comic performance of the year.
You know, I almost went to see that on Saturday. That's one of like the three best films I saw, and I didn't go to see it. It was like a 12 o'clock noon showing, but yeah, DiCaprio too. I was kind of like, he's a great actor, but somebody told me they thought he was doing Billy Bob Thornton through the whole movie. And I didn't think it was his best performance. I don't think just cause he's Leo DiCaprio, he deserves to be nominated. Like, is that a snub or did he just, were there other better performances? You know,
I think this whole snub thing is silly, but it's fun to talk about.
It is fun to talk about. Who are you hoping wins Best Actress? Are you a Lily Gladstone fan?
Lily Gladstone was great in that movie, a movie I've seen twice. But I love Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. And I also just saw her in The Zone of Interest. Those are two amazing performances. And I also absolutely love Emma Stone in Poor Things. So I think I'd be voting for either one of them over Lily.
Okay. I have to see. I saw Anatomy of a Fall. She was good. I like the movie. I didn't love it. There's so much hype. Maybe I heard too much hype.
Come on. That dog, the scene with the dog.
There's some great scenes, and the kid was great.
Yeah.
And the dog kid was great. The dog was a great actor. And it was a good film. I'm not, what do I know? I've been snubbed every year. I did like Lily Gladstone, and I thought she was great. Do you have the best supporting actors, Ben? I'd love to get your prediction.
Yeah, I already cast my vote. Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo. Thing. Okay.
But who's he up against? He's up against Ryan Gosling.
He's up against, I should be better organized, shouldn't I? He is up against.
You do this 5 nights a week. I mean, if it doesn't work tonight, it'll work tomorrow.
One of these days it'll work. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. Robert De Niro, who I thought was outstanding. That was one of my favorite
roles. He's terrific.
Yeah.
He's absolutely terrific. That's my favorite performance in the film, probably.
Agreed. I did like Lily Gladstone too, but he was just great. He was very un-De Niro-like, which just shows you what a great actor he is. Robert Downey in Oppenheimer.
Good performance.
Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Haven't seen it. And Ryan Gosling. So it's hard to argue. Mark Ruffalo is great and everything.
Mark Ruffalo, a Wisconsin man.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wisconsin natives. And this movie, you should definitely see it. Mark Ruffalo shows a side of himself that I haven't seen in any other movies. Very, very funny.
Is that the film that Willem Dafoe's in that movie? Too,
yes.
Right? He was great too.
Another Wisconsin man and another fantastic performance. It's sad to me that Willem Dafoe didn't get a nod too, because he is brilliant in Poor Things.
Right. What about Best Supporting Actress, Ben? We got America Ferrara and Barbie, Danielle Brooks, Color Purple, Divine Joy Randolph. I hope I'm saying that right. The Holdovers, Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer, and Jodie Foster.
In what, NIAID?
NIAID, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a huge rabid fan of any of those performances, but maybe what's her name from The Holdovers? She did a nice job.
Divine Joy, yeah.
Yeah, Divine.
People are raving about that movie, and I still haven't seen it. And I can stream it, but I'm trying to find a moment where I can watch it with whole family.
I think I told you this last time. We've got Alexander Payne coming into Madison in April with a 35mm print.
Yes, you did say that.
So save it for then.
Okay.
Come hang out. I'll get you a seat. I'll put a little reserve sign over.
You're telling me not to see the movie before then?
That's right.
I want to see it before that.
Because what are the odds that you're going to want to see it twice?
Well,
if you're going to see it once, you want to see it in 35mm with Alexander Payne there to answer your questions afterwards.
Boy, that's tempting. I will say I've seen Election, and I'm not kidding, probably 10 times. I've seen Sideways maybe 3 times. Nebraska, love Nebraska, saw it a few times. And what am I missing? Alexander Payne, Citizen Ruth.
What's that love first Citizen one? Wait, with Laura Dern.
Citizen Ruth, yeah.
Citizen Ruth.
Great movie.
Oh, my God. That movie makes me laugh so hard.
Can you hang a little longer, Ben?
I'll hang as long as you want.
I appreciate it. You're a good hanger. We have more Oscar talk, and I want to ask you, have you seen The Beekeeper?
No, but I want to. I'm a sucker for a stupid action movie.
I'm a sucker for a stupid action movie that gets a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, buddy. And they did it right. And I'll talk to you more about that in just a minute. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. I'm talking to Ben Reiser on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Memories get in the way. I walk around. I can't hear a sound. Folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Mass murder in the California desert. 5 people arrested in connection with 6 bodies found last week on a remote desert road in San Bernardino County. Investigators suspect a dispute over marijuana. Sergeant Michael Warwick, San Bernardino County Sheriff's Office.
I can confirm all victims had apparent fatal gunshot injuries. Additionally, four of the six were burned at the location by the suspects.
Impeachment proceedings kick off tomorrow by House Republicans of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas over border issues. The Biden administration considering responses to the deadly drone attack by Iran-backed militants on U.S. troops in Jordan over the weekend. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
And that response could be multi-leveled, come in stages, and be sustained over time.
Elon Musk announces the first brain-computer interface device from his company Neuralink has been implanted in a human. An update on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to allow him onto the state's presidential primary ballot in April. The state's Presidential Preference Selection Committee met earlier this month to decide who will appear on the ballot, naming President Joe Biden as the only Democratic nominee. Phillips says voters deserve a choice on naming the party's nominee. The state Supreme Court called for the committee and the State Elections Commission to respond to Phillips's complaint by Wednesday. Governor Evers toured Wisconsin Monday to talk up his task force on the healthcare workforce. It's an initiative he announced during his State of the State address. There were stops in Neenah, Wausau, and Fenimore, to name a few. The governor's office also says he'll talk about efforts to address the challenges facing Wisconsin's healthcare worker shortage. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly cloudy sky, the low falling into the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. We warm up quite a bit, though, for Wednesday, with sunshine all the way up to the mid-40s for the high. Currently, it's 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Todd Almaz Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want, but until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. jamming through a Monday night here on Nightlight. We have a surprise guest coming up in a few minutes who's worked with Heather Graham. It's her birthday. Happy Heather Graham's birthday, everybody. A Wisconsinite, to a degree. Right now not on the phone. Ben's on the computer. Ben Reiser's here from joining us from Madison. Ben is one of the directors of the Wisconsin Film Festival and programmers for Cinematheque. Did I get that right, Ben?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
It sounds better than just a good dude.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So you haven't seen Beekeeper. I got to tell you, I would love to hear what you have to say about it when it's done. It got a little crazy, but it was just, we've reached a point in action films where every action hero has to be an unassuming guy on the surface. He's a snowplow driver. He's a beekeeper. Oh, he's actually a trained killer. So don't mess with his family. It's insane.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
The trailer looked great. I'm up for a good time.
It's fun.
Goofy, bad movie.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's well, action's hard to do well, I think. And they do it pretty well for the most part. Have you seen Wonka?
No.
Okay.
But I loved that guy. The director did those Paddington movies, right? Or at least.
Oh, Paddington, yeah. Too? I haven't seen those. They're supposed to be great.
Oh my God. Dude.
I know.
What are you waiting for?
It's just
not on my wait a minute.
Yeah.
We have the director of Paddington 2 coming to Madison in July with a 35mm print. Just kidding. But you should check it out online.
He and Alexander Painter carpooling to Madison.
Yeah.
Just to save money.
So what did you see? Did I see it?
It's not my cup of tea. Like, I like musicals if the music blows my mind. This just seemed like we need some songs. And
Did you see the movie that Timothy Chalamet, who is Wonka in this movie, did last year, I think, where he's a cannibal?
No, I did not.
Oh, that was a good one.
Timothy Chalamet's a cannibal.
Yeah.
A very lean cannibal. An in-shape cannibal.
Exactly.
Okay. What's it called? I'll check it out. I'm asking you a lot of questions. You don't have to Google it. Don't Google it, Ben.
Oh, I'm Googling.
You also said you saw... Okay, so you're watching True Detective, as am I. I'm trying so hard to like it. What do you think so far?
I like it. Here, I'll give you my... I mean, this is not going to come as a surprise to most people who pay attention to True Detective. Season 1, fantastic.
Outstanding.
Season 2, a disaster.
Awful.
Season 3, I loved more than most other people.
Same.
I think it got generally good reviews, right?
I loved it. I thought it was, I love Stephen Dorff and I was not expecting that. Mahershala Ali's great. I loved, you know, they always seem to do a nonlinear thing, but I loved that. And this one
so far, let's just say right off the bat, it's certainly better than season 2.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's taking some big swings and maybe those swings are not always connecting, but I like that it's pushing. I wish it would settle down a little bit. I'm 3 episodes in and I'm still overwhelmed by the amount of characters trying to figure out their relationships to each other.
Past,
and then there's this whole supernatural element, which I wasn't quite expecting from True Detective. And I'm trying to wrap my head around.
Right.
I'm wondering if it will really turn out to be supernatural, but you know, I like it. Jodie Foster. I love that she's allowing herself to age gracefully.
Yeah.
You can see her age on her face. I think she's still a terrific actress. The woman who plays her sort of sidekick or counterpart or,
right,
you know, rival, I think she's fantastic.
She's great.
I always like, what's his name? John Hawks.
John Hawks. I was excited to see him in this. Yeah. He's a kind of a cool, gritty actor.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm going to stick with it. I agree. It's much better than 2. I'm trusting the process and I'm hoping it gets me where I want to go, I guess, regarding True Detective, because I like the franchise.
Except wait, for news bulletin coming in, Bones and All. That's the Timothy Chalamet cannibal.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And how did you, Murder at the End of the World, I struggled getting through the first episode. Mm-hmm. I still am like 10 minutes to go, and that was a month ago. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, it was kind of cool when she was in the car with the guy, and it was night, and they were in Texas or whatever. It had a kind of a cool aesthetic, but like, I don't know what's going on in that. Should I go back to it? Did you like it?
I can't recommend it. I love with all of my heart this series that the two people behind Murder at the End of the World did for Netflix maybe 5 or 6 years ago called the OA.
Huh.
which to me was, and you should go back to watch that. They did the closest thing I can think of to a sort of a Stephen King style epic story that was a fantasy, that was a horror series, all kinds of great stuff. And so I was so excited for Murder at the End of the World, which really turns out to basically be one of these kind of like Agatha Christie, like Hercule Poirot, you know, brings everyone into the drawing room and tries to figure out who the murderer is or murderers, you know, which seems like it should be a simple enough genre to sort of do something good with, but they just didn't seem to figure out how to do it.
All right. Well,
wish I had better things to say. No, I would not go back to it, are you?
I might just finish that pilot episode and hope for a miracle, but yeah, we'll see. Well, listen, you and I, buddy, we ought to go see, I'll try to be in Madison when Roadhouse comes out. I would love to see that with you and Jim Healy. That could be a fun triple date.
I saw the original Roadhouse in a theater on original release.
Same.
Cannot love a movie more than Roadhouse. And so I don't know, man. I haven't watched the trailer. I don't even, is it a good trailer?
All trailers are, most trailers are good. They've aligned themselves with the UFC, which I have an issue with, and Conor McGregor. Like, you're using an actual guy who could kill you as the bad guy. So I think that's risky. And Jake Gyllenhaal looks like, it's like when they put Sylvester Stallone on the cover of Time with George Clooney, and you're like supposed to say which one, well, this guy could kill him, you know, but, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I hope they do the Pat Swayze version justice. We'll see. But Ben, thanks so much for your time tonight. We gotta do this again soon, I hope.
All right, anytime.
All right.
I'm just here. I just sit here by this microphone waiting for somebody to ask me to join their nightly
More people should ask you for advice, Ben, I think. Ben Reiser, thanks so much. Have a great night, buddy. So we have a special guest who's about to join us. It's Heather Graham's birthday today. She is, I think, was born in Wisconsin. I don't know how long she lived here, but she was in the movie. She was in Swingers, which I thought was great. She was in Boogie Nights, and she played Roller Girl. She was good in that. She's a really good actress. She had a stretch there where I think she was outspoken a little bit. But for the most part, I think she's a really solid actress, and she turns 54 today. So we are going to be joined in just a moment by someone who worked with her and produced a movie. And his name, he's a movie producer, and his other credits include Relative Strangers and A Good Old Fashioned Orgy. Producer Brian Edding joins me now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Pete.
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I should clarify, you not only produced the film A Good Old Fashioned Orgy, you produced the actual orgy, didn't you?
I produced the actual orgy, the scene.
You were very
where the orgy happened.
You were very bossy. You told everybody what to do. I'm sure it was very empowering.
It was empowering. You know, that cast, it's so funny because people ask about that movie all the time because the cast weren't really big names at the time, and now they all sort of since exploded.
And that's a great thing for a producer, I'm sure, too. So, Brian, you and I have been friends a long time. You also produced my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. You spent a lot of time in northeastern Wisconsin. But the reason I have you on the phone, and you're a big Packer fan, right?
I'm a huge Packer fan. Yeah.
All right. So the reason
a good year. It was a great year.
It was a rebuilding year, and they still crushed it.
The real deal. Really happy with the and you know what? Well, we could go on and on, but they should have won that film. They should have been there this last Sunday.
Brian fell in love with Northeast Wisconsin while he was here producing The Godfather of Green Bay. He was people, but by the time he left after a month, they liked him more than the native son. Like, hey, how's Brian doing? I'm like, hey, I had something to do with that too. You know? It was so fun. But So I know you have two young kids now, right?
Yeah.
And you're producing films about orgies. I'm not going to judge. That's fine.
Yeah. But that preceded the kids. But, and it might have inspired the kids.
Yeah, right. Good for you. Whatever it takes. But I noticed today when I was putting the show together, it's Heather Graham's birthday. She is she's either was either born here or lived here for a while. She's kind of a native Wisconsinite. You produced the film Broken with Heather Graham. So I'd love to hear just your opinion on the birthday girl. Do you have a good story just about that experience?
I have a few really good stories. Some probably not appropriate for for the air, but but all good. And I would say that I mean, this is going back quite a few years. I think this happened right after your movie.
Yeah.
I went on to work with her, and she was a dream. And I still would maintain that she was probably the loveliest, one of the loveliest actors I've had the pleasure to work with, because she sat with the crew at lunch, and she was just really ephemeral and down to earth.
Nope, we lost Brian. I bet one of his kids reached over and hung up the phone. Let's see if we can get Brian.
Yeah, I'll call him right back here.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I wanted to ask Brian this, and when we get him back, I'll ask him. But I feel like she's kind of, everyone looked at her like Roller Girl, like she was this beauty, and she is beautiful. But, and she said some outspoken things, but I think she really is this really good actress too. Everything I've seen her in, I really liked her in. So, and now Brian has very good things to say about her. And I knew he would. I knew he's just a very positive guy. And that is part of the reason why he's such a good producer. He's a very good, Brian, you back?
I'm back.
All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
Sorry about that. We have a landline here and a Morse code line. So, I'm totally joking. We're stacked here. So you were saying, I was just saying when we lost you that I think Heather Graham, like, she's so pretty and
she
I think she went through a phase like a lot of actors do when they achieve fame. They say some things and they get kind of ostracized or people go, oh, typical actor, actress or whatever. But I think what gets lost is she's a really good actor. Like, she was good in Swingers. She was great in Boogie Nights, and you had a good experience with her too, right?
A really, really committed, wonderful experience. Really, really committed. Like, you know, this wasn't the movie about heroin addiction, and I've never done drugs in my life. I mean,
that you know of.
That I know of. And so I really couldn't relate to the movie, but I was dating a girl that I met in Wisconsin, and she could relate to the material, and she was like, oh, you got to do this. And I met with the filmmaker and the financier, and it was kind of a quick prep. And I remember we had made an offer and met with her, and she was 100% in on it. Like, when we met with her, it was very clear that it wasn't just your normal indie, and she wasn't just, it wasn't a paycheck. It was like, she made no money, and, you know, everyone was sort of, I don't even know if she had a trailer. She might have just had like a pop-up tent. But it was like grueling hours, as most indies are. And we were all downtown LA and shooting in like really dodgy locations. She just always carried a smile. And mind you, like, the role was just really gritty. And it was really tough and taxing. And she was basically a musician that she moved from Wisconsin in the movie to LA. We try to kind of give it, have a personal connection to her. And then she meets a guy, he falls in love, and he's a drug addict, and he pulls her down the rabbit hole. And she just really kind of went for it and leaned into the part and was all in. And, you know, you oftentimes, hope that you have someone that's part of championing the film. Like, afterwards, she sat in the edit room and I think was fighting for a few scenes that her management team at the time were like, you got to remove. And she's like, no, I want more of it. Let's do this.
Oh, man.
Make it really raw. And we kept bringing her back in the edit room, and really, she had wonderful things to say and weigh in on. And, you know, the movie, I think, premiered at the AFI Film Festival, and she walked the red carpet, and she was doing press and
hey, Brian, can I interrupt you? Can you hold that thought for 1 second?
We got a couple
more minutes coming up with Brian Edding. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back. Wrapping up hour number two here of Nightlight, broadcasting statewide from beautiful City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay. My guest is Brian Etting, film producer and a very dear friend. And we were talking about Heather Graham. And Brian, we have hard outs for breaks here. I could not mess around. So please continue what you were saying about her, how committed she was. That's so cool to hear that.
No, she was just so committed. And she spent time in the edit. And she gave, you know, extra days doing ADR and press and walked the red carpet at the AFI Film Festival. Just lovely as can be, like just salt of the earth.
That's
I
so
think
great.
That probably comes from a lot of it is attributed to her roots in Wisconsin. But, you find that a lot of people like that, she just at the time, you know, she was a movie star already. You know, she experienced all the big studio stuff and working right. on a high level, and this was an opportunity to kind of stretch her acting chops, which she did, and she got wonderful reviews, which was just a testament to her commitment. So,
well, you say that about her being from Wisconsin, and that's why she's the way she is, and that's very nice, and I do think there is something to that. I think people from Wisconsin in general are very nice, but you're an LA kid, born and raised in the Valley, and you are like the most salt of the earth guy, one of the best I've ever met. So I right back
I
at you,
that.
And
thank you.
You got to come back soon and visit us. And by the way, you have done drugs because I slipped a Mickey into your drinks one night. The Godfather. Yeah,
I recall there was a night where I woke up naked outside in the woods.
That's just a rite of passage in Wisconsin.
Or monogamy, one of the two.
Monogamy,
right at the border.
Remember,
I miss those burgers. What was that little burger?
Mickey Lou's.
Ooh,
it's good stuff.
They're still to this day, the greatest burger I think I've had.
Yeah.
Although they closed one day early. I always tell the story. The Packers lost. Favre was the quarterback, and they closed. I was like, wait, I come here every Sunday at this time. I'm like, Packers lost. We're going home. True story. Only happens there.
Only happens there. That's in their business plan. If the Packers are doing well, you are SOL, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, this was great. Thanks for jumping on. I know you're being a sport. I know you got two young kids you got to get to bed, but thanks so much for jumping on and telling us a Heather Graham story. Come back soon.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Okay, thanks.
I'll talk to you soon, pal.
You got it. That's Brian Etting, film producer, and a guy who's worked with Heather Graham. Those are the kind of goods we deliver here at Nightlight. We got another text, too, for our food question. What would you eat pounds of and have it not affect you, your weight, your health, your arteries? And this is Papa Rico again chiming in saying, can I change my vote to a Reese's peanut butter cup? Yes, you can, Papa Rico. Absolutely.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
And you'd have to like, man, you can eat ice cream by the gallons. I don't mean you, Connor. I mean, like, I could.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I could do that as well.
In the summer. It's totally, yeah, I'm totally there.
I would go with Culver's custard, actually, though.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's basically ice cream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not much difference. But it's delicious.
Yes.
So we had a lot we didn't get to tonight, Conrad. How do we address that?
Well, it was Tom Selleck's birthday as well.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do that. Tom Selleck, he's kind of an all-around nice guy in show business. And I have to be honest. I don't have to say anything, but it's a talk show, so I'm going to talk. I find him to be kind of lacking charisma. But you know what? It works for him. He's a very mellow guy, exuding low energy on screen, and the guy who's made a career of it. Magnum P.I., Blue Bloods, he played Monica Geller's boyfriend. And whatever he did, he was doing it right. And here's a clip. We have a clip. He's Monica's boyfriend, right? And he shows up. This is the first time they meet, right, Conrad?
Yeah, this is the first time they meet. He's actually a friend of Monica's parents. So it's roughly like a 20-year age gap.
Okay, that's right. And so this is from Friends. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, we're late.
That's okay. Come on in. I'm sorry. Is Monica Geller coming? I was told she was.
Dr. Burke, it's me.
Monica? My God, you used to be so. I mean, you must have lost like
thousands.
You
of
looked
pounds.
Great. So how you been?
I've been great, just great. How have you been?
Oh, well, obviously, you know, Barbara and I split up. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done the head tilt.
The head tilt?
Yeah, since the divorce, when anybody asks me how I am, it's always with a sympathetic head tilt. How you doing? You okay?
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Believe me, I do it too. I always answer with the I'm okay head bob. I'm okay. For sure. Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, listen, I got to set up the music. I got a new CD changer. Of course, the divorce only left me with 4 CDs to change.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'll survive.
He was good in that role.
He was great.
Would you watch any other Tom Selleck shows?
When I was looking at some clips earlier, I was watching some of the Magnum PI ones, and I watched a clip where he stole a car. And he like broke the fourth wall because he looked directly at the camera, and I thought it was funny.
Oh, that is funny. Those are funny. It was funny when they were dating on Friends because I liked all the jokes being made about them and about how old he was. And then there was the episode where Joey and Chandler both grew mustaches because they looked up to him.
That was a great episode. It was so funny.
But they couldn't pull it off. Like, it's just like, well, Papa Rico chimed in again. I love it when great minds come together. No argument there, buddy. Thank you for all the texts, Paparico. Paparico. Yeah. Oh, that sounded weird. That sounded like one word when I said it, like a spice or something. Hey, you know what happened? Remember the other day, we were talking about my name, and I said somebody, I think it was when Heather Heil was here, and I said somebody's thought my name was Peach Cobbler once.
Yeah.
So I tried to do voice text of my name today, and it came up as Peach Guava.
Like, the flavor of your seltzer.
Yeah, right. And shouldn't my own phone know my name by this point? Like, maybe I had a mouthful of food or something. The other thing, hey, let's play that. I wanted to give everybody a recommendation. Here's what I just started watching, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow because we didn't get to it tonight. All the stuff, I watched a ton of stuff this past weekend, but I'm into a show now called Fool Me Once, and it brought me back to this great clip from our former president. Go ahead and play that gun.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Ah, that's George Bush. I love when his eyes, when you know he's in trouble, he just can't remember it. That's hilarious stuff. I'd like to thank my guest tonight, surprise guest Brian Edding, Ben Reiser, Frank Anderson, and Aaron Carino for sitting in with us. That was really fun. And all your texts, as always, it was so much fun. On Nightlight tonight, I'm Pete Schwabe. We'll be back again tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I just
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always